What's going on, swingers? Welcome to this week's episode of the Big Swing Podcast. On today's episode, we got some big news on what the big swing looks like in the near term for the listeners. We also cover that Dodgers-Padres series from last week, Bauer and Tatis going at it. We also get into the NFL draft a little bit, so stick around for all that and more on this week's episode of the Big Swing Podcast.
Throwing cheese on the Big Swing Podcast with Blue Jays pitcher Ross Stripling and co-host Cooper Searles.
What's going on, swingers? Welcome to another episode of the Big Swing Podcast. It is Wednesday, April 28th. I'm your co-host, Cooper Searles, joined as always by my podcast compadre and Blue Jays pitcher, Ross Stripling. What's going on, bud?
Coop, what's up, dude? We got some big announcement today. Big swing news, I guess. So why don't you kick it off with what we got?
Yeah, so, you know, we're nothing really specific here, but, you know, one thing we've prided ourselves on over the, you know, 100 plus episodes we've done in the last 2 years is making sure that we're consistent and weekly putting out an episode for you guys every single week. Things have changed. You know, we're busier than we were. You know, Ross has a kid. Ross is dealing with a move and middle of the season and everything like that. So things are just getting a little bit hectic for us. But I will say we are going to do our very best to have an episode out, whether that's just me personally doing it or Ross is involved. But we just kind of wanted to say it just out in front in case you notice a couple episodes upcoming that, you know, don't include both of us.
Yeah, just to piggyback off what Cooper said, you know, last year was a COVID year. It was kind of easy to sit down and find an hour a week to record an episode. And now, you know, jump forward a year. Like he said, I got a son, Jackson, you know, in the middle of a 162 game season. And Cooper and I both have a lot going on. So we're, like you said, we're going to try and do 1 week. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. But this is, you know, we love doing this. And it's one of the, you know, the favorite things we do every week. And it's been a priority of ours now for over 2 years. We've done over 115 episodes now, right? So, you know, we're not going anywhere. And I don't want this to feel like a goodbye because that's not what it is. It's just a hang with us in the season here. We're going to give you as much content as we can and hopefully do 1 a week. But if we miss a week or whatnot, you know, come back the next one because we're going to keep getting interviews, getting good guests, all that good stuff that you guys are used to from us. Just may not be quite as regular as what you've been used to over the last 2 years.
Well said. That pretty much sums it up. So what do you say we get into some fun stuff?
Let's do it. Sports.
I wanted to start out with a kind of a thing that's happening here this week, tomorrow actually, and that's the NFL draft. It's one of my favorite events every year. I love the NFL draft. I wish that it wasn't a COVID year because we're probably not going to get, you know, like the crazy fans out there, the booing like we normally get for Roger Goodell and all that stuff. But nonetheless, man, excited for the draft tomorrow.
Yeah, I like watching the draft. I usually tune in for the first 15 picks for sure. And then maybe we'll hang out until like the Cowboys draft pick, you know, and see who they pick. Let's see where they're at.
They're at 10.
They're at 10. I got them at 15.
No, they're at 10.
Well, they're also at 15. No, that's the Lions. Oh, this guy's a trade. I'm looking at like some dude who has him mocked as a trade.
Okay, I want to, before you even go with your comment, the guys that are doing the mock drafts that are now including the trades in all these mock drafts, like, just relax, yeah. Dude. Like, relax. Let me just see how the draft is set up beforehand, who you think they're going to pick. Let's not even throw in these trades where it gets confusing like you just did thinking the Cowboys were 15.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm already confused. So now I'm looking at four guys. It's their mock draft. And all four of them have the first three picks being quarterbacks, which is kind of crazy. So, I mean, it looks like we're in for some entertainment tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot going on, I think. You're going to find, even if you're not a huge NFL fan, I would tune in because there's going to be a lot of drama. A lot of teams trading back, a lot of teams trading into the top 10 to maybe draft a quarterback. There's five quarterbacks that are probably going to go within the top 10 or 11, 12 picks. And I wouldn't be shocked if all five go in the top 10. So one thing I wanted to bring up was the number three pick. So basically, it's been reported that Trevor Lawrence from Clemson is going number one, and Zach Wilson from BYU is going to the Jets at number two. Those seem like foregone conclusions. But at number three, the 49ers traded up in probably the most expensive trade in NFL draft history, I think. They traded up from 12, and they gave up their 12th pick, their 2022, 2023 first-round picks to Miami to move up to three.
Yeah, it's like we're in the middle of the Kevin Costner movie where he plays the GM for the Browns, right? And then he's going to come back and somehow, like, get the picks back and the guy he wants. You know, that movie is
always Vontae.
Yeah, the movie's ridiculous, but it's entertaining and probably couldn't be more far away from what the draft is actually like. I tell you what, man, Zach Wilson, he looks like he's 15 years old and he's going to be the second overall yeah. pick in the draft and basically probably get the reins to the organization in New York Jets, right? I mean, you're going to throw him out there week one. I mean, that's crazy. He shot up the draft boards like our guy, like Von Miller back in the day, where it's like, all right, this kid's good. I could see him having success, going to the next level. Okay, yeah, you're the second overall pick. That's crazy.
Well, and in a limited season, like especially in those games that you like playing people in your region, in your conference during that COVID year, like you didn't get to see him face LSU or Georgia or University of Texas or something like that. So like in a normal year, even if these quarterbacks at these smaller schools usually have a big non-conference schedule where we get to see him compete against like another great quarterback or a great defense. So we just didn't get that year. So it's kind of a crapshoot. But like at three, we're talking about if you trade up all of that, you basically gave up your pick this year to swap, and then you gave up two additional first round picks. You're basically trading up for a guy that you're saying is going to be a 10-time Pro Bowler and your franchise quarterback. And like basically you're trading up to three. We're already the two best quarterbacks are going to be off the board.
Yeah. So once again, these same four goobers that I'm looking at, I don't know who they are. Two of them have Mac Jones and two of them have Justin Fields going at that three spot. So they right. traded up to the three spot and we don't even really know who they're shooting after. Like, what if they took like Kyle Pitts? Like they're running the two tight end yeah. next to Kittle and then, you know, just keep Garoppolo around the two tight end set. And they're like, oh, okay.
Well, and then they're talking about the Trey Lance guy, who's the other quarterback in the mix from North Dakota State. He played in like a Division II or something or FCS for a few years. And then, you know, he played basically 1 year of football at North Dakota State. And then last year they played one game and then shut it down for COVID. So the guy basically hadn't played football in 2 years, but he looks like a Greek god. So he's going to go in the top five.
He does look like a stud. I tell you what, I'm excited to see. I was like seeing where receivers go. You know, I think back to like AJ Green oh man, what's the guy for the Falcons?
Julio Jones. Yeah.
Think about like AJ Green and Julio Jones coming out of the draft. Like this kind of, I mean, every draft gets hyped up about the receivers, but these top three receivers have a chance to be really good right off the bat. And we're coming off some really good drafts with guys like DK Metcalf and Jefferson and all these like really young studs we have.
AJ Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Just yeah. young studs in the NFL. And these guys look like they're going to be the next wave. You know, Chase Waddle and Devonta Smith, who we saw in the national championship, have three touchdowns in the first half. I mean, it'll be cool to see where they go. So we're talking about like superstars between quarterbacks, wide receivers in the making going in the first 11, 12 picks.
You nailed it. I was listening to Todd McShay today, and he actually said that he would not be surprised if 15, 16 receivers go in the first two rounds.
Wow.
So basically just saying it's the most stacked receiver class in a long time. But that's Devontae Smith is a guy that I'm like most intrigued to watch out of this whole group at the next level. Because he basically came off of the greatest receiver season in the history of college football. He, in my mind, he was the most dominant receiver I've ever watched and one of the best players I've ever watched. Heisman Trophy, Natty, and I think like that guy just seems to be can't miss to me.
You know what I like about it is, so he's getting a lot of flack for being so small, right? Where they weigh him in at like 165. Right. You know, I think to like yeah. Kevin Durant, where he couldn't even bench press the 185 to, you know, in his NBA yeah. combine. And then obviously he's Kevin Durant. What I like about it is he might sneak down, let's say, I mean, gosh, dude, let's say he sneaks down to pick like 13, 14, 15, 16. All of a sudden you got a quarterback that's Dak Prescott or Kyler Murray or yeah. whatever the dude's name is in San Diego, now LA.
Or goes to the Patriots.
Yeah, you know, so like, yeah. dude, yeah, I'm 165 pounds. Let me fall to pick 20. And now all of a sudden I'm on a team that wins 10 games instead of four.
Yeah. And you're actually, you can walk in with probably an established quarterback when you're getting picked in middle or late of the draft, where you can actually be a weapon day one instead of having to deal with a rookie quarterback or some guy that sucks that can't get you the yeah. ball.
Spot on, man.
Yeah,
we got action tomorrow. Hey, you got me fired up for the draft. I was like, kind of yeah. like, yeah, whatever. Now, man, no doubt.
Well, in that number three pick, I'm bringing it up again because I'm so interested in it after listening to McShay today. But he said that, like, you brought up Justin Fields, and he, you know, coming into the year, he seemed like he could be the number one pick, maybe number two, and for some reason, he slid. But McShay said that Shanahan wants Mac and the personnel department wants Trey Lance. So there could be some drama there at three. Like, who wins that battle? But that's something to
Pitting
watch.
Pitting the organization against itself right off the bat after such a massive trade. Whoever gets picked there has a lot of weight on their shoulders right off the bat just because of the trade. And now you're throwing in half the organization doesn't want you versus the half that does. That's tough.
That's what I was like interested by. It was like, oh, you leveraged the next 3 years of your team. You would have thought that you guys were all on the same page. Like, oh, yeah, our guy, we're not letting him get past three. We're going up to get Justin Fields or Mac Jones or whatever. But, yeah, maybe it's smokescreen and they know exactly who they're picking, but I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see who falls.
Cool.
Three,
yeah,
but
guys, tune into the NFL draft tomorrow. You guys are going to have some stuff to watch for.
The next story I kind of wanted to bring up was in the baseball world, and this is kind of just a general story. And you talked about it a little bit last week or 2 weeks ago about how this Padres-Dodgers rivalry is real. And, like, it's not a little brother situation anymore. And the Padres really believe they are at the same level as the Dodgers and can compete with them. And, like, it's becoming one of the best rivalries in sports. Like, that series last week was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to step on Beast of the Week segment, and it's a controversial pick, and we'll probably lose some of our Los Angeles listeners, but I picked the Padres as my Beast of the Week. And I mean, dude, they went into LA. They won 3 out of 4, technically won 4 of the last 5 because they won the last one in San Diego. And both teams ran out their dudes. You got the best starters from both sides. You got, you know, the healthiest lineup that they had. Obviously, Cody Bellinger not in there. And they played 4 games and the Padres won 3 of them in LA. So like you said, it's not big brother, little brother anymore. And you're talking about a team that plays with energy, as much energy as we see in the league. And now you're giving them a sense of belonging that they feel like they belong in that rivalry. Man, I tell you what, they went and beat Kershaw too. Like, the Padres never beat Kershaw. So like, they went back to San Diego with their heads held high and they're like, hey, we belong. And really, they kind of look like head and shoulders the best two teams in the NL. So, like, it's already getting hyped up like crazy. They're going to play 19 times. They're calling it 19, like, NLCS games. And that's the way it looks, man. I think it's great for baseball.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you, not only did they beat Kershaw, but I think they ended up losing the game. But, you know, Tatis has 2 homers off Trevor Bauer. I've only been watching the Dodgers for a couple of years, but those are little things you just didn't see, you know, in that series. Like, it was always a rivalry, but really was one-sided, and the Padres hated the Dodgers, and the Dodgers were kind of like, well, this should be, you know, 15 wins this year. So it is interesting that it's like a real series now, and these guys are not afraid.
Yeah, so what do you got on Tatis, you know, Bauer coming out and saying, I like, you know, what Tatis did. You know, he crosses first base, and he looks back to the dugout, and he does the one-eye thing that Bauer was doing during spring training that we talked about on this podcast. Everyone knows about it. And Bauer comes out and says, yeah, it's good for baseball. We need more of it. Like, as a fan that watches a game, do you agree, like, baseball needs more of that?
Absolutely, Ross. Absolutely. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love it from both guys. Like, Trevor Bauer is going to be a troll and do his little antics. Then when Tatis hits it into the moon, give it to him back. And I love, you know, we're going to step on our entire Beast of the Week because it was going to be Trevor Bauer for me. So I'll save the quote, you know, the exact quote. But I love that Bauer came out and said that. Like, if you're going to be the guy that is, you know, trolling people and making jokes and doing these antics and then you can't take it, that's like the worst type of guy. So the fact that Trevor Bauer comes out and says, yeah, it's great, he should troll me, it's hard to hit in Major League Baseball. And when you go yard on someone that's been like throwing with one eye open and everything, yeah, give it to him back. I loved it.
Yeah, so last week on the podcast, you said Acuna should be the face of baseball. I mean, a week later, I think you got to say it's Tatis. MLB just put out a montage of guys like Trout, Soto, Aaron Hicks, my teammate Bo Bichette. They get asked, hey, who's the most electric player in baseball? And all of them said Tatis. And then he goes and shows it, you know, in a 4-game series in LA, coming off a injury where we thought he might miss the whole season. I mean, he falls over in the box holding his shoulder, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're about to miss the most exciting player for maybe a whole season. Lo and behold, he's back a few weeks later hitting 2 homers a game. Yeah. What I'll say about the Bauer thing and you know, just based on the conversations I've had in past locker rooms and in the current locker room, and I'm certainly not trying to put words in the mouth of every pitcher around baseball, but we all agree that baseball needs it, no doubt. But when it starts getting directed at the pitcher is where you'll see pitchers getting fired up. Now, this is a thing between Bauer and Tatis, and really Bauer bringing it upon himself that you touched on. So he's in a different echelon. But like, you know, if guys start pimping homers and start, you know, giving the middle finger to the pitcher or something, then, you know, there's going to be some issues. But we agree that hit a homer, man, celebrate, look at the dugout, take a minute to round the bases, do some, you know, Euro step into home plate and, you know, finger roll your helmet, whatever you want to do. But just if you direct it at the pitcher, that's when things are going to get kind of chippy.
Right. I agree. That's a good that you made that distinction, because you're right. Like if he were, you know, if he did that off of you and he was, you know, doing something like rocking a baby or something because he found out you just had a kid, like, you know, that crosses the line. But like when there is, you know, stuff that Trevor Bauer does, then he kind of puts himself out there as fair game. But, you know, of course, I want a guy to be able to flip a bat, pump his chest around second and be happy, you know, but I think that's fine. That's all fun and games. But, you know, I think I mentioned this last week about Acuña, like how I was probably a perfect person to say, like, who's the face of baseball, because, you know, I'm sort of on the fringe, you know, like I enjoy the game. I don't watch it every night. But like the two most exciting things that have happened and made me care about baseball in the last couple of weeks are Acuña going off and this Tatis Bauer rivalry. Yeah. So I think it does matter. It's similar to, you know, we talk about this play all the time, about that Damian Lillard play over Russell Westbrook. And like that was a rivalry that was going on. And for him to wave Russell Westbrook goodbye, like that's a memorable moment that me and you talk about almost, like, I don't know, we talk about this like once a month. And we remember that. So I'll remember the Tatis one eye thing. And I, you know, obviously we don't want it to get disrespectful, but you know, the days of someone hitting a homer and jogging around and stepping on home plate and walking to the dugout, those days are just over. And I think baseball's better for it.
I'll tell you what, maybe even a more favorite moment of that series than that for me is the Hosmer with Bauer moment, where so Bauer strikes out Hosmer takes like a really bad swing, and that's called a sword because he kind of looks like he's like swinging a sword, misses the ball. So Bauer does this big like putting the sword away moment, and the next at bat, Hosmer hits a ball like 110 miles an hour right back at Bauer's face through the middle as a single, and Bauer literally falls over on the mound because he was so scared, like life flashed before his eyes, like pitcher's worst nightmare. And Hosmer makes eye contact with Bauer and puts the sword away. You know, and nice. And that one was more in good fun. Like they're both smiling. I think they know each other well, and they obviously competed against each other back from their AL Central days with the Royals and Royals and the Cleveland Indians. But that one like was more feel good, kind of funny, versus the Tatis one was like, hey, this is a rivalry. Like these guys are going to be going at it for the next couple years, and this is just the first game. Like we're in for a treat, and baseball needs it. And then baseball pumped it up. It was all over social media, exactly what we talked about last week. That Trevor Bauer talks about all the time. Pump those moments up, sell the NFTs, whatever you got to do, but like pump that up. And they did. And it was great.
You mentioned it. We talked about last week about pumping those moments up on social media, and it needs to be like a conscious effort from the MLB. And I don't know that they would have done that 5 years ago. I really don't. But like looking at it now, you can go on MLB or all those like MLB owned accounts and see that highlight and see that being pumped up. So that I think that's smart and a good idea. So, as a pitcher, I wanted to ask you about the video that came out on Tatis taking a little peek. I think, to me, when I watch that video, it looks like there's no scenario where he can really see, you know, the call. Maybe that he can see that it's an outside pitch.
Yeah,
that, you know, like he's got a hand on his right thigh. But like besides that, you can't really see the actual pitch there, right?
Well, if you're looking back hard enough, you'll see the fingers, right? You'll see him put down a three, which is a slider. And really, when you watch it, I don't think he looks back far enough to see in the legs. I don't necessarily know what he's doing, so it looks fishy. I get that. What makes it more fishy is Bauer throws a bastard slider 8 inches off the plate, and Tatis pulls it for a homer. I mean, that's nearly...
He knew exactly where
it was. Yeah, it's nearly impossible to do. So that's what makes it fishy. I'm not speculating. I have no idea. I watched the next game because it was Sunday Night Baseball. And, you know, if the Dodgers probably thought that he was cheating there, they would have addressed it somehow. And they didn't, that I saw. And so to me, that means that the players in the locker room on the Dodgers side didn't think that that's actually what happened. But once again, we're talking about Trevor Bauer and the Twitter war that he went at, and then Tatis coming back with the picture of himself holding Bauer as a baby, and like, oh, I mean, it's just, it's great. It's great, but no real way to tell if he was peeking in or not. I tell you what, it's, that would be bad. That, you know, I hope that's not what he was doing, because he's too good to do that.
Yeah, and that's one of those ways that's like, I don't know what you call it, unwritten rule, Bush League, whatever it is, but like, you can really only do that once, right? Like,
well,
because it, you know, now that it's on video, people are going to be looking for that. So like, even if he was trying to get a competitive advantage, which is still up for debate, like that's a one-time thing. And maybe he was just taking advantage of that, like, one-time opportunity because he
needed
was
that second
facing
homer.
Bauer.
Yeah, needed that second
yeah,
homer.
Exactly.
Agreed. Yeah. And you're always on TV. You're always on a camera, because what they'll do is they'll pan to that view and they'll put your stats underneath you, right? Or whatever. Like, you never know when in that bat they're putting, you know, oh, he's 1-for-3 on the day with a homer. And all of a sudden,
especially in that match,
and all of a sudden they catch you peeking into the catcher. No chance, man. The only time that I think guys might try to get away with that is day games and you're wearing sunglasses. I think you might have a chance to peek, but really, I don't think that's a thing in the big leagues, man. I don't see guys stooping to that level, especially with the amount of cameras on us. Like, it's just too much at risk to be that guy, and how that'll spread through the locker room and the reputation you'll get just amongst the players. You know, it's just not worth it.
So do you think it's more, I don't know if egregious is the right word, but do you think it's worse to do that or for a guy at second to steal a sign?
Way worse for the guy in the box. Yeah. Yeah. Stealing signs from second base has been part of the game since freaking Honus Wagner was playing, you know?
Right.
If you're showing what you're throwing inside the glove, like if I'm on second base and I can see in your glove what you're gripping, or if you're using stupid signs, strikes plus one, outs plus one, whatever it is, just first sign, and you don't change it, man, that's part of the game. You're stupid as a pitcher.
It's kind of on
you. It's on you. 100% it's on you. That's been a part of the game for a long time. But yeah, peeking in to see the pitch in real time. I mean, you know, we're talking about 2017 stuff right there. That's, you know, can't do it. Can't
do it. Yeah, for sure. Nah, dude, it was fun, man. Like, that's one of those matchups now. The next time that they have a weekend series or something, I'd be interested to see the ratings on those games. Like, after what happened last time, there's no doubt that those ratings are going to go up by 25, 30, 40%. There's just no way it doesn't after, you know, people like me that are going to draw in a national audience now and want to watch that Trevor Bauer, Tatis matchup and Kershaw and all those guys. So yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to it. I just think it makes this long, like back to normal 160 game season. Like it makes it fun to have some like series to look forward to in the middle of the season.
No doubt. No doubt. And the Red Sox being good again, we'll bring that back for like Yankees, Red Sox stuff. And, yeah, man, baseball needs it. You're spot on.
All right, Strip, let's take a break, and then we will head to our Beast of the Week.
On deck in the Big Swing Podcast, the Beast of the Week with Strip and Coop.
All right, guys, welcome back. It's time for the Beast of the Week. We've both already spoiled it. First time ever that I think we've ever spoiled a Beast of the Week, and we both did it in the same episode. So big things changing around here. Beast of the Week is just something Coop and I pick out from pop culture, sports, something that catches our eye, whatever it is. We call it our Beast of the Week. Coop, we know yours is Trevor Bauer. Explain why.
Yeah, so I've talked about on this podcast how like I like Trevor, and he's been on this podcast, and I think he's important for baseball and everything, but I think that he kind of can get gimmicky. But I thought he really had like a moment where it could have gone one way or the other here for his reputation, his career. I think like baseball and social media as a whole, where they asked him, you know, how did you feel about the eye patch thing that Tatis did, kind of trolling him, rounding the bases after that homer. And if he would have went the other way, like we mentioned earlier, he would have been ridiculed. No one would ever taken his shit seriously for the rest of his career, I think. I think it was a huge moment. But what he did is he came out and he supported Tatis. And he basically said how it's good for the baseball. I love the rivalry. He quoted and said, I'm all for it. I think it's important for the game that the game moves in a direction where we stop throwing at people because they celebrated after having some success on the field. And he kind of goes up and follows it and saying how difficult it is to hit in the big leagues and be successful at the plate. So you should celebrate and pimp a homer. So I was proud of Trevor for kind of, you know, not being one of these people that can give it but can't take it. So Trevor Bauer, Beast of the Week. Awesome series, awesome game, and great post-game press conference.
Yeah, I'm proud of him too. Kind of like sticking to his guns. Like the first moment of really getting tested of, are you the guy that you say that you are? And are you really trying to build the brand of baseball and the players? And 100% he is. And had the backbone to do it after giving up two homers and all that stuff. I mean, it's so, yeah, proud of him, man. I thought it was awesome.
All right, Ross, who's your beast of the week?
So, yeah, I said it was the Padres. Controversial. I mean, it just is. They went into LA and they won 3 out of 4, and now they feel like they belong with the Dodgers. And it's great for baseball. They're still going to play another, what, like 13 more times this year. Everyone, like you said earlier in the podcast, going to be looking forward to those series. I think it's great. So, yeah, no longer big brother, little brother. Padres here to stay. I mean, they got Tatis, Machado, Hosmer locked up for a long time. Really good pitching. And contenders, not just like contenders with the Dodgers, like contenders to go win the World Series. So watch out for the Padres.
Another back-to-back baseball beast of the week.
Go us.
Pretty good.
Baseball pod. Yeah. We are. Not bad. We're a baseball pod that happens to talk about the NFL draft.
Yeah, that opens up with the NFL draft. All right, swingers. Well, we appreciate it. You know, thank you for sticking by us. You know, like we said, we're just, you know, things have gotten a little bit crazy in our lives, but we're going to do our best to still be weekly in one form or another. We appreciate all the support over these last 115, 20 episodes. It's been an awesome run, and we can't wait to keep it going. So stick with us. All right, swingers, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle is @BigSwingPodcast. You can find me @CooperSearles. Ross, where can they find you?
@RossStripling on Twitter, @Ross_Stripling on Instagram. And please remember to go check out Goats on the Bump. We got another episode coming up this week. I don't even know what it is, but it's going to be an awesome one because they're all awesome. So go check it out.
All right, swingers. See you next week.